I want to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah 26. We're going to look at verse 3 and 4 there. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. I want to speak to you on the subject of sweet peace. I believe that it is God's desire that every one of us live in peace. In his invitation, he says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The peace of God is the best testimony that a Christian can have. Because the world is looking for peace, but in the world there is no peace, but in God there is peace. Jesus said, "In the world you'll have trouble, but in me you'll have peace. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." Stand with me if you will, in honor of God's word. Isaiah 26, beginning with verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the everlasting strength that you have and that you give to us through your grace, because we are your children. And Lord, I pray that we would never forget that, but that we would rejoice in the Lord forevermore, and that we would trust in the Lord forevermore. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you, and we realize that. Lord, I pray that we would never lean to our own understanding, but that we would always trust in you and rejoice. Search my heart, remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Give us your truth, Lord. Use me as your instrument. Open our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a wonderful promise that God gives to all of his children, not just Israel, but also to all of us who are born again into his kingdom. He says to every one of us that he will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him, because we trust in him. Remember the two blind men that came to Jesus? And they said, "Lord, we would have our sight." And he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Our faith takes hold of the promises of God. As we read this promise this morning, that God will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him. Do we believe that? See, that's our part. The promise is secure. God takes care of that. But it will only be real to us as we believe it, as we trust it, as we claim that promise as our own. And we say, "Lord, I trust you." And we mean it in our heart. When we do that, then all the rest of it falls in place. So let's look first of all at the requirement. He says here, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because," there's your requirement, "because he trusts in thee." See, that's the requirement. Can a Christian live in turmoil? Absolutely. Can a Christian live without peace? Absolutely. Can a Christian live with peace? Absolutely. It's a choice. You say, "Wait a minute, what about the circumstances?" God doesn't say anything about circumstances here. He says, "I will keep you in perfect peace when you trust him." Now we can let our minds run through all the circumstances that we can imagine that could cause us not to have peace. And we say, "How can God make a promise like that?" He's God, folks. He can do anything. And as God, he makes a promise to us. And then he says, "Now here's your part. You just have to trust me." Do you trust the Lord this morning? Now think about that. Do you trust the Lord? All the circumstances of your life, your sickness, your health, your poverty, your wealth, do you trust the Lord with all your heart? Because that's what God requires of His children. You see, God wants us to have that peace. He tells us, as far as our witness goes, He says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And then be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Now, why does He put it like that? Because if you sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and you find the peace that He has promised, people are going to see that. Folks, that's what the world's looking for. The world's not looking for a Savior. They know nothing about that. They're looking for peace. And God wants us to be in such a state of peace that when they see us, they see peace. And God says, then you be ready. When they ask you for the reason of the hope that's within you, you be ready to tell them where that comes from. Because they're going to ask. They're going to wonder. They're going to want to know. Because everybody in the world wants peace. Now, there's all kinds of differing ideas about what that looks like and how you get peace and what it would take to give you that eternal, continual peace. There's a lot of different opinions about it, but there's only one source. That's Jesus. You see, you can't get enough of anything to bring you peace. I remember some fellow that was very wealthy was asked one time, how much does it take to have peace? He said, just a little bit more. There is nothing that can bring peace but Jesus. And so, God has made that promise to us for a reason. That's His desire for you. It's not that you have to beg for peace. It's not that God says if you'll meet all these different requirements and you'll do all these things right and you'll get all your ducks in a row, then I'll give you peace. He said, just trust me and I'll give you peace. But there's so many things that cause us not to trust. Amen. God says we're to trust in everything. Not just the good, but also the bad. Listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, familiar passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just some of it. And lean not to your own understanding. Now, folks, that is a very important phrase in that verse. You see, that's the alternative. And that's where most Christians fall. Trust in the Lord with every bit of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. If you lean to your own understanding, things get scary. They really do. There's all kinds of problems in this world. And if we start looking at them from our perspective and our understanding, it gets scary and peace is gone. So God says, don't go there. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Now what does that mean? In everything that comes into your life, you need to see the hand of God behind it. If you look at God through your problems, you're going to be scared. If you look at your problems through God, there's peace. And so here we have the formula laid out for us here in trust in the Lord. He says that we are to trust Him with every bit of our heart. Now that means every bit of our circumstance. Every situation. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about trusting God during failures. Failures happen. That's just part of life. If we can't trust God in failures, we're going to be in big trouble because of a whole lot of failures in life. God says in everything, we're to trust God. Can God overcome failures? If He couldn't, I wouldn't be here. God is able through His grace to lift us out of the miry clay of our sinfulness and set our feet upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. That's the God that we serve. And He says, you can trust me. You'll never go wrong trusting God. I have come to realize I would rather fail in faith than to succeed in fear. Because fear has torment, but perfect love casts out fear. God says, you have something special as a Christian. Oh, I know there's all kinds of circumstances going on in life. I know there's all kinds of problems that we are facing today. All around us there are problems. But we have a tremendous opportunity for peace. Because God says, I'll give it to you. If you just trust me. We have to trust in everything. Testing is for our endurance. Now understand this. Testing's coming. But it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We bring trouble upon ourselves sometimes. That's one level. But then there is testing. When God lets us be tested so that His grace is enough for us. And we see that. See, God knows His grace is enough, but we don't always know His grace is enough. And as we go through testing, it builds endurance in us. Listen to what James has to say about this in James 1 verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And notice what James is saying here. You may be sitting here this morning and you're saying, boy, I wish I could trust God enough to have this peace all the time. I just can't muster up enough faith. I can't endure. I can't hold on. I go out in the morning and I say, I'm going to trust God with everything. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff happens and I can't trust God. Well, let me tell you, God knows who you are and He knows what you need. And so He designs these little trials for you to go through that build your endurance. And so when that happens, instead of saying, oh, here we go again, we need to say, thank you, Lord. I see that you are working on the problems that keep me from this peace that you want me to have. And all the little problems that come up that cause us not to be able to trust are building trust through endurance. And God is the master builder and He is building a way on our house. He is making us into somebody who can trust Him. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And as we go through life, God gives us example after example of His power. Nothing will ever solidify your faith like going through a trial where there's no way out, and then God gets you out of it. And you say, well, how'd that happen? Well, that's God. And as you build these things up in your life and you see trial after trial after trial that God overcomes and overcomes and overcomes, then it builds a foundation. You know, when David had to fight with Goliath, the foundation of his faith went back to when he was a shepherd out in the field. He said, a bear took one of my lambs and I killed that bear. And a lion took one of my lambs and I killed that lion. And then he made the connection. He said, the Lord delivered that bear and that lion into my hand, and He will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine. You see how faith grows? Now I guarantee you, when the lion came up to get one of the lambs, David was not saying, I'll fix you. Because he couldn't whoop a lion, but God could. And no doubt his heart was beating really fast when he went out there and took the lion on to save his lamb. But then the Lord gave him the strength. And he killed that lamb, that lion. Same thing with the bear. All the men of Israel show what happens when you try to face a hard circumstance without the background of faith. They were all hiding. They didn't want any of their heads to stick up too high for fear that he might see them and think they were coming out of the hole to come and fight with him. They didn't want any part of that giant because they knew they couldn't whoop him. And they had never seen what they could do with grace. But David had. Now the trials that you're going to face are for that purpose, to build some endurance. So many times I'm afraid we waste the trials that we face. Amen. We want them over. Just get this over with. And we do whatever we can to get out of it. And then when we're over it, we just say, I hope that never happens again. But the truth is, he goes on to say, but let patience have her perfect work. That's where we go back to what God said about in everything acknowledging him in all of our ways. You see, that's the good, the bad, the trials, the testings, the failures. All of that, acknowledge God. It's kind of like summing everything up at the end of the trial. Instead of saying, oh, that never happens again, don't want to think about it, we should say, I see how God has overcome. I have just seen the hand of God in my life. That's acknowledging God. And that solidifies something. Now, the trial is no longer something terrible that we hope never happens again. Now it's an encounter with God. God has overcome in my life. And now I've got one more weapon in my bag that I can pull out like David and say, I fought the lion and I won. Let patience have her perfect work. Now we need to take Christ's example and follow what he did. Listen to Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he tells us how. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now I want to point out a couple things here. When I first looked at this years ago, you know what thought came to my mind? Well, sure, he could just give in and he could go through all of that because he knew he was God. He knew he was going to raise from the dead. He knew he was going to win in the end. You know what God said to me? And so are you. So are you. This world doesn't really matter, folks. We know how it all comes out. We know there's an end to this. One of these days, I'm going to live with God. I'm going to have a wonderful life forever. And I know how it all comes out. Therefore, whatever God wants to bring into my life to prepare me for that, I can submit to it because I know how it comes out. I know we win. I read the last chapter. Now, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he says, we're not to be high-minded or selfish. We want things our way, don't we? I just don't want to do it that way. I want to do it my way. But that was not the attitude that Christ had. As a matter of fact, even when it came time for him to face the cross, He prayed to God the Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, Jesus was not saying, if you can let me out of this, let's just let them go to hell. What he was saying is that if there's any way to save them without me taking their sin, let's do that. But if it takes me going to the cross to save them from hell, thy will be done. I'm glad he was willing to do that, aren't you? What would we be without that? Now he says to us, you have the same mindset that Christ had. You lay your life down. Because you know how it comes out. Jesus told his disciples, nobody takes my life away from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. Now, I can say the same thing. Nobody does anything to me that doesn't have to go before the Father and get permission. And when it's all said and done, God the Father gets the glory. Whenever we realize that, we can live in that peace, understanding that God has this under His absolute control. Folks, think about this. We are standing at the place of peace, just like we stood before salvation. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, which is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you know we stood that close to salvation when we heard the gospel? It was right there. We could either speak the truth and be saved, or we could reject it and go to hell. We were standing at a crossroads. Well, this morning I want you to know, as Christians, we stand at a crossroad. We can choose peace and humility and surrender. Surrender our bodies as living sacrifices to God, to do with whatever He sees fit, and enter into peace. Or we can reject it. We can say, I'm just going to do the best I can with what I got, and live in turmoil for the rest of our life. See, it's our decision. The promise is there, just like salvation is there. There's going to be millions and millions of people go to hell because they rejected the free gift of eternal life. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. But you see, the devil is a deceiver, and he's good at what he does. But he doesn't quit when we get saved, does he? He still tries to pull us back into this world, in the philosophy of this world. And we live just in this little, tiny life with no thought of life after death. We're professing Christians, but many times practicing atheists. But God has set before us this day an opportunity. A promise to keep us in perfect peace. Not just sort of peace, perfect peace. He said, come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest in your souls. Boy, that's what the whole world wants. It's what I want. You know what you want? It's rest, peace to our souls. Verse 4, he says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Our reason is because we can trust God. What is the reason? Because he is everlasting strength. Have you ever really thought about what that means? This world is going to pass away. The things that mean so much to people, they're going to leave behind. Things that are so important in this world and in our culture are going to be left behind. But the Lord will be forever. And our peace doesn't end at the grave. It just gets sweeter. But we don't have to wait till we die to have peace. We don't have to wait till we die to have joy. We can have joy and peace right now. And that's God's desire. Because he is everlasting strength. It doesn't say he has everlasting strength. It says he is everlasting strength. Life is temporary, folks. Now, it's hard for me to understand that when I was a kid. I figured on living forever. Just couldn't wrap my mind around dying or getting old or any of that. But the older I get, the more I see that life is very short. Very short. It didn't take me very long to get here, Brother Mike. It happened overnight almost. You know, I was young and then I was old. And one of these days I will leave this body, which is all right with me. But you know what? We need to grasp that truth. James 4:14 says this, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." When I got up this morning and looked outside, there was kind of a frost on the ground. Didn't last long. It's gone. That's the way life is. And because life is so short, we need to let God have the freedom to work in our life to prepare us for eternity. Because eternity is not short. It's forever. That's the reason Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth. It wasn't that he doesn't want you to have some stuff. He said, it's going to rust. And you lose it. There's just a little while, you're going to have to leave it all behind. But lay up your treasures in heaven. Because nothing can take it from you. And it'll never hurt you. None of the treasures in heaven will ever come back to draw you away from God. Life is temporary. Living is training. It took me a while to grasp this truth. We're here for a purpose. Remember back in the 70s, everybody was asking, what's life all about? What's the purpose of life? Well, the purpose of life is training for eternity. We make decisions in this life that's going to determine our eternity. That does not stop when we receive Christ as our Savior. It's just the beginning. You're going to make decisions that are going to determine your eternity. Now, I don't know exactly how that's going to work, because I don't really understand what heaven's going to be. The Bible, I believe, is obscure for a reason. He doesn't make it real plain. It's just going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be a place that we can't imagine. And it's going to be a place so different from this place that we can't really wrap our minds around what laying up treasures in heaven is all about. But God says, that's what to do. Jesus just gives us the inside scoop. He doesn't tell us why. He just says, trust me on this one. Don't lay up your treasures on earth. Lay them up in heaven. And I expect he knows what he's talking about. And because of that, we ought to just trust him and do it. And you say, well, I don't know how to lay up treasures in heaven. I know how to lay up treasures on earth, but I don't know how to lay up treasures in heaven. Let me tell you. It's trusting in the Lord. It's not what you do. It's whether or not you have found that peace that passes understanding. If in this life you are pushed away from God so that you don't have peace, you're just burning up time. But if you have a trust for the Lord, the result of that is going to be peace in your heart, and that peace lays up treasures in heaven. And there will never be an end to that. So this is training time down here. This is just getting us prepared for heaven. We determine today what tomorrow is going to be. We determine what our eternity is going to be by the choices we make and the attitude that we have toward God today. You say, well, things are really bad in my life, and I just don't think I can trust God. You're just wasting time. Can you trust God or not? We trust Him with the good. And you know, something hit me one day. It just really was overwhelming when the first time I realized it. I trust Jesus for my eternity. I have no idea what eternity is going to be, but I trust Jesus. So much so that I put all of my trust, I have no trust whatsoever in anything else but Jesus Christ for my eternity. Amen? I'm going to live there for a long time. Why wouldn't I trust Him for the 30, 40, 50 years I'm going to live down here? That's a sobering thought. And then the question comes, if I don't trust Him for the temporal things, do I really trust Him for eternity? It's easy to say, I trust Jesus for my eternal life. But how does that play out? If you trust Jesus for your eternal life, what about now? Who are you trusting now? Oh, I'm trusting the boss. I'm trusting my back. I'm trusting whatever. Truth is, it's hard to trust God for the eternal and not trust Him for the temporal. It's training, folks. Listen to 1 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love that. Our little weight. See how he describes that? Our little weight. This little problem that we have down here, this little struggle that we're going through down here, is going to gain for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. And as we just accept it, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. As we are going toward the grave, our treasures are going toward heaven because our trust is in Almighty God. And that leads me to the next point here, and that is that leaving is triumph. One of these days, I'm going to leave all these troubles behind. And that's triumph. That's when it all gets sweeter and all is good when I leave this world. The Bible says that we are to mourn at a birth and rejoice at a death. When I have a loved one that passes away, I don't grieve for them. I grieve for their loss. I grieve because I won't have their company for a period of time. But oh, I rejoice in the fact that they are in heaven. I would not want to trade my pleasure of having their company for their joy being in the presence of God. That's what that verse is talking about. And so we need to be very aware that even though we get older, we're approaching the grave day by day, there needs to be a sweetness in our heart where we realize that we're just a stranger here. Our real citizenship is in heaven. We seek for a city that's not made with hands, but it's eternal. And we will one day walk through the streets of gold. Have you ever really sat down and thought about that? One of these days, and it won't be very long, folks, comparatively speaking, one of these days, we're going to be in heaven. Unless things are really different for most of us, 30, 40 years, we're all going to be in heaven. Think about that. In heaven. Heaven's a real place. It's just as real as this place. And one of these days, we're going to be there. And we're going to be there forever. And so, as we keep that perspective, we set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Because everything that's on the earth, John says, hubs around the three doors of temptation. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of that is what this world has to offer. And he says, don't fall in love with that. Because if you fall in love with that, the love of the Father is not really in you. And the world passes away. You see, there's an end to that. And all of those desires go with it. But he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. You see, we need to have that perspective on our coming passing from this life to the next. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now listen to what he says here. When Jesus comes, he is going to gather up all of the saints that are in heaven and bring them with him in the cloud. Now that's wonderful. I used to talk with Brother Nick. He really wanted to be in the rapture. He wanted to be here when the trumpet sounded. He said, I just believe God's going to leave me here until the trumpet sounds and I'm going to go up to heaven. I told him one day, I said, Brother Nick, I can promise you, you're going to be in the rapture. He said, how can you do that? I said, because you're either going to be coming down or going up. You're going to be there. And one of these days, if the trumpet sounds before I finish this sermon and we all go up, we're going to meet Brother Nick in the clouds. And we're going to meet our loved ones who've gone on before, because God's going to gather them up and bring them back. And then the graves are going to open. The dead in Christ shall rise first. All of a sudden, boom, the graves pop open. Now, I've always reasoned that's because we got a 6-foot head start, you know. And they're going to pop up out of the graves. And they're going to be reunited with their spirit that's coming down from heaven. And then those of us who are alive and remain are going to be changed a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll be just like they are coming up out of the grave with their resurrected bodies. And then we'll all climb on that cloud and we'll float off to glory. Now, I think that as far as the world's perspective, we're just going to disappear. But from our perspective, we're going to take a ride up in the cloud. That's going to be a glorious day. Now, folks, that is a very real thing. That's not science fiction. That's absolute truth. God is coming back for his people. And he's going to take us to heaven. Seeing that this is the case, We ought to completely trust Him and just wait, expecting Him to change us into whatever He wants us to be. The result of our faith, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You want peace? Here's the formula. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And peace is a wonderful thing. Here's the promise. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. "Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to fear anything. We belong to God. The worst they can do is kill you. And that's going to be the best day of your life. The provision, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Always. You see that? What about bad times? That's part of the always. What about good times? That's part of the always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then listen to verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's the plan right there. The privilege that we have as Christians is to cast all of our care upon Him. Peter writes in chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." God knows that in order to stretch our faith, we have to go through trials. God knows that sometimes those trials become very heavy, and sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we have doubts. And sometimes we have fear. And the Lord says when that happens, instead of turning away, you just bring that and lay it at His feet. Now how do we do that? We do that by simply trusting that He has it under control. And we just say, "Lord, this really is heavy upon me. And I just give it to You." And the peace comes back. The peace that passes understanding. And as we do that, we can draw others to Christ, because they will see us in peace. Now in the Bible, there's many, many ways that the Lord says this, because we have many different learning styles. He tells us in one place, "Let your light shine." Well, how do you do that? How do you let your light shine? Well, what is the light? It's the peace of God that passes understanding. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, nothing brings glory to Jesus than to have people going through trials that still have peace in their heart. That brings glory to God the Father. We can trust God with everything, every trial, every circumstance, because He is faithful. It may be that there's someone here this morning that's never received Christ as Savior. I said before, it's a crossroad. There's a thin line between heaven and hell when we come to the gospel. You see, the Bible simply says Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and the third day He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. You say, well, what about this and what about that? Don't add anything to it. The word is in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But if you refuse, and if for one reason or another you find a different gospel, you know, I try to be a good man, I try to live a good life, and if there's more good in my life than there is bad, I'll probably make it into heaven. If you want to settle for that, then you're going through the broad door. It leads to destruction. The only people that make it to heaven will have to make it to heaven as humble sinners crying out to God for mercy. If you've never done that, I would invite you this morning to put your trust in Jesus Christ. He alone can save. There is no salvation in any other. If you're a Christian and the troubles of this world have pulled you down, let me tell you, God wants you to live in peace. And he has extended an invitation to you, just like he did before you got saved. And the word is right there in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of faith. The Lord says if we will trust him with all of our heart, he will keep us in perfect peace. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. And Lord, we realize that your grace is all we need. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on you. Lord, I pray for anyone that is lost this morning that you would save them by your grace. Any Christian who's living in turmoil, that you would set them free through your peace. And Lord, I pray that you would use us in a mighty way as an army going forth with the radiance of your peace, that we might share with others how to find peace in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.